1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
So, yesterday was the 12th day of Christmas, right? Okay, sir. So go ahead with what you're saying.
Yeah, yes, sir. Yesterday was the 12th day of Christmas. Now, tradition states that all Christmas trees, Christmas decorations are supposed to be down on the 12th day of Christmas.
Now that's the tradition of all the decorations. Why the 12th day of Christmas?
Because the 12th day of Christmas, that's when wise men went to Bethlehem. But that's not important. The point is that the Christmas decorations are supposed to be down. That is a tradition that's been observed where we live for the last 24 years, as long as we've lived on the street. Now, this guy who lives across the street is who I'm talking about.
All right. The man across the street from you, Mr. Bonafide, is a guy by the name of Gary Mintons?
Yes, sir.
And what is the problem with him? His tree is still up?
As of last night, yes, sir.
As of last night?
Right. As of last night, as of this morning, his tree is still up. But as of last night, not a single other tree should be up. But his is up. And he has a tree, and the tree that he has is about 8 feet tall. And you know the reason why he still has it up.
Well, why is that? Because it's a big tree?
Because, yes, sir. And he had gotten that tree at the lot about a half hour before I got there. So it's a big 8-foot tree. He's got about 300 lights on it. He's got the glass kind of ornaments. He's got the candy cane and what have you. And the tree is still up there, even though tradition dictates. Now, the reason why that tree is still up is to purposefully irritate me and other people who... I just find it irritating.
You're going to have to stop right there, Lloyd. What difference does it make to you if a guy keeps his tree up?
Because tradition dictates after the 12th day of Christmas, you no longer have your tree up. Now, I am a veteran of the United States Navy, Korean War Service, 1950-1952. And on behalf of the 3.5 million Korean War veterans, it is an affront that this man would abuse and keep the tree up, and he's sticking it to every veteran because...
How can that be? I just want to interrupt you for a moment.
Yes, sir.
How is it that a guy keeping his tree up one day longer than the 12 days of Christmas is an affront to every veteran?
You know something, Mr. Hendry? He knows he's making me angry. He knows that I'm a Korean War veteran.
But you didn't tell me why that makes you angry.
This guy is well known. Okay, if you want me to get into the story.
Yeah, I'd like you to get into the story. The 12 days of Christmas, I don't know. You keep the decorations up, I don't know. But why are you specifically, on behalf of all the Korean War veterans, upset?
This guy that lives across the street from me, this Mr. Mittens, was involved with this gal up the street. He had an affair with this gal up the street. And this gal was, her husband had died. Now, the word got out that apparently he's got a, you know, he's packing a lot. All right, sir?
Okay. So therefore what?
Mr. Henry, believe me, I find it to be offensive that I have to talk to you.
Go ahead. So what?
This is why he's got this big tree to remind everybody on the street he's packing a lot. And that's why he's got the tree up. And everybody knows this. He's got that blue spruce wedged in his bay window like... You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, the word got out. He knows he's got a big...
All right, so this guy is a sexual... Some kind of a sex guy?
No, he's not. He had an affair with this gal up the street, but she let everybody know that he's packing a lot of equipment.
So he's got a big tree in his window to remind everybody that his penis is big?
That's the word that I got, yes, sir. And I think that it is offensive.
Did he actually tell people that?
He told this gal down the street, yes, sir.
Well, look, you know, the fact is it's a Christmas tree.
No, but he's got it. I know why he's got it up to say, look, see what I got? Now, my wife used to park a car on the alley out back. Now she parks it out on the street. My fear is this, Mr. Henry.
What you're dealing with here is a guy who's probably a little immature, who keeps his tree up longer than he should, you say to remind everybody, remind all the women on the street how well endowed he is, but it may be because he just likes Christmas. I don't know.
Well, but the word is out that that's why he does it.
All right, so he's told this lady that he keeps a big tree in his window to remind all the women on the street?
That's right. And again, that's like, in my opinion, that's like showing it to every woman on the street. You know what they call a man who shows it to women, don't you?
A flasher, right?
A flasher, and the lights on the tree flashing back and on and off and on and off. And so, you know...
This is something you could easily ignore.
No, sir, I'm a Korean War veteran, sir, and nobody, and I mean nobody, shows my wife their thing and how what kind of equipment they're packing.
There's a police report here that you confronted this guy. His name is Mr. Minton.
I went over to his house, yes, sir.
What did you say to him?
I said, it's the day after 12 days, time for the tree to come down, Gary. And he said, oh, is that right? And I remember what he said to me. Is that right, Tiny Tim? And that's when I grabbed a hold of his shirt and the police. And he says it's assault, but I don't believe that it is.
What did you do? You grabbed his shirt with both hands?
I got both handfuls of shirt, yeah. And I blacked out.
Well, he's in the hospital, right?
No, sir. He was in the emergency room.
All right. What did you do? You broke his nose?
Yes, sir. Apparently. Yes, sir.
That's a hell of a way for a Korean War vet to be acting.
Well, it's a hell of a thing for him to stick that. You're absolutely right. And I apologize for my behavior. But for him to stick a Christmas tree in the window to remind all the women on the street how big his thing is.
Look, it's Christmas time, right?
Yes, sir.
And at Christmas time, you're allowed to put a tree in the window.
But that, not what it's supposed to be, your penis. No, you can't do that.
Let me give a phone number out here, Lloyd. Can you hold on?
Huh?
Can you hold on?
Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is a bizarre story. Guy who lives on the street, he's got a big tree up in his window. The people in the neighborhood would like him to take the tree down because it's... One day after the 12 days of Christmas, that's when you're supposed to take it down. But the other belief is that apparently he's got the tree up in the window to remind all the women on the street who the man is, I guess. Because he had an affair with some gal. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Lloyd, you live in Alhambra, right?
Yes, sir. And I can tell you something, Mr. Henry, I fought for this country in Korea, and I don't think that it's right that a man be allowed to unzip his pants, show his private area.
But that's not what he's doing, okay?
No, but he's doing it symbolically. And the part that's so unfair is he uses the sacredness of the Christmas tree, which is the symbol of the birth of our baby Jesus. And he has it in his window to represent the size of his penis, and I find it to be an abomination that he do a thing like that.
How old are you, pal?
Huh?
How old are you?
I'm 67 years of age.
67. Well,
Mr. Henry, Mr. Benton wants to show everybody on the street he can sport timber the way the kids tell it by keeping an 8-footer in his window. Just what the kids say, woke up with wood, you know?
I understand that, sir. I have to tell you that I don't know about the 12 days of Christmas tradition.
Well, because you don't know about it doesn't mean it...
No, that's right. Because I don't know about it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But I don't know if there's a law a guy's got to take his tree down. I do would say that it's very offensive for a guy to put a tree up in his window when it's supposed to mean, hey, look at this is how big I am. But then all that is a lot of hearsay, right?
No, everybody knows it. My wife talked to the gal up the street that he had an affair with. And then found out that it's true. That's the part that pisses me off.
All right. 1-800-449. So what would you like him to do?
I want him to take GD tree down and apologize to the women of our neighborhood. I'm already facing a court date on the assault charge.
Did they took you in? Did they take you into jail?
Yes, sir, they did, yes.
Well, you're swinging on some guy because he's got a Christmas tree in his window.
It's supposed to be his penis. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what I'm trying to tell you, sir.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. The guy's name is Gary Minton, and across the street, he lives across the street from this guy, Lloyd Bonafide, and he has a 8-foot Christmas tree in his window that is supposedly represents the size of his penis. And this man and a few other men are upset. They want him to take the tree down. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
See, the tree, he keeps the tree up, though, because he's sticking it in. And he just wants to stick it in and twist it. And every night I sit in my...
Hold on. We are talking to Lloyd Bonafide. Lloyd lives in... hold on, sir. Lloyd lives in Alhambra. Guy across the street has kept his lights and his tree up, even though it's after the 12th day of Christmas. And you say it's because it's actually a comment about his manhood.
Well, he's got the tree up. And I said, and last night I got up to get a drink of water. There's the tree with the lights twinkling and flashing away. And I said to my wife, you see what he's doing? Look what he's doing. He's got the tree up and everything. It's just.
He's sticking it in.
He's sticking it in. That's right.
1-800-449-8686. Carmen, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, Carmen.
I just wanted to tell you, Mr. Bonafide, you're crazy, all right?
Oh, I'm crazy because a man shows my...
You need to stay inside your house and leave other people alone.
How do you figure I'm
crazy?
Stop
saying he, she, say stuff, all right?
Wait a second. How do you figure I'm crazy when a man shows my wife how big his thing is?
Did you see him do it?
He's got his tree up, man.
Oh, no, that doesn't mean nothing because my father gets an 8-foot tree, too.
Well, dear, you don't...
And that doesn't mean nothing.
Well, God forgive you for talking about your father.
Mean he's trying to show off the size of his man stuff.
This guy, Gary Mitten, had an affair with the old widow woman down the street.
But that's none of your business. I mean, she's a widow.
It
ain't like she's cheating on her man.
No,
it's
but
It's none of your business. That's not your wife.
How come she tells all the women folk on the street all about his big thing?
That's her business, though.
Well, she told...
Maybe she's proud of it.
Could I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
And I mean to be complimentary because I saw a film the other night that I thought was very cute called White Men Can't Jump. Have you seen that movie?
Yes.
And you sound just like the girl that...
Okay, you sound like Rosie Perez, Carmen, I think is what he's saying. I guess that's a compliment, huh?
It's very complimentary. She's a very beautiful young lady. But have you seen that movie?
Yes, I have.
All right, never mind about the movie, okay?
Huh?
Never mind about the movie.
Oh, all right. So anyway, I thought this guy was showing my wife his thing. And that
all of a sudden, you talking to this young girl about this is bothering me.
She called me.
Carmen, so your point is that you think this... Lloyd, you sound like you're getting wound up about nothing.
That's it. He's getting wound up about nothing.
Oh, in a pig's eye. Look, a guy puts a big 8-foot tree up in his window with lights and it's flashing.
Maybe he loves Christmas. Maybe he loves to decorate.
How come he's got it up after the 12th day of Christmas? Can't
because,
answer that, can you?
You
no.
know, people don't take the tree down.
Nobody
I still got my tree
yeah.
up.
You still got your tree up, Carmen?
Yes, I do.
What about you, Mr. Harry?
Huh?
What about you?
We took ours down only because it was dead. It was turning into a fire hazard.
See? So you took yours down.
Not because it was the 12th day of Christmas. It was a fire hazard.
I still got my tree up.
He made a comment about my tree being bent over at the top, and I know that's a direct shot at my... See, my tree is twisted at the top, right? Carmen?
Uh-huh.
Okay. And it,
What are you talking about?
The tree that I got at the lot.
What about it?
It's bent at the top.
Okay.
And he said, oh, so your thing looks like that, huh? See, this guy thinks everybody's tree is a symbol for their fetus.
I don't know. I think
it's
just
you know,
crazy.
Yeah, it's a little goofy, all right?
Mm-hmm. My tree, quote-unquote, curves to the left.
Hold on. Carmen, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here. What do you mean this guy thinks that everybody's tree represents their thing?
That's what he tells my wife.
For you to put your hands on a neighbor.
Huh?
For you to put your hands on your neighbor, grab his shirt, and then assault him because he called you Tiny Tim.
That's what I'm saying. Yes, sir.
Is you're too old for that. You call yourself a veteran. You ought to represent your country a little bit better.
You never, ever, never, never, ever, never piss off a Korean War veteran. You'll never, ever, never do that.
Let me go over here to Ron on the Phil Henry Show. Ron?
Hello.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I served my country.
I think he's lost it, too, but...
I lost what? What'd I lose?
I think you've lost your mind or your senses. You just let it go to your head.
Let me explain something to you, friend. Nobody flashes my wife.
I don't think you flashed your wife.
All it was
word from the other lady.
What do you call it when he tells all, the other lady tells everybody on the street, that tree is supposed to be Gary Mitten's statement to the street, look how big my thing is.
I'd just call it hearsay. Street talk.
Tree top?
Street talk.
I don't buy it.
All right, listen.
Well, it's interpretation, that's all it is.
Interpretation. So in other words, Gary, what's your name?
Ron.
Ron, if I said to you, hey, mine's 8 inches long, you'd think I was talking about what?
I wouldn't have any idea what you were talking about.
Oh, bull crap.
Look, the guy's being honest.
He's lying.
He's being honest. Thank you, Ron, for your call.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Scott, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Phil, thank
yes,
you
sir.
Very much. I want to tell you you're doing an awesome job. What's this gentleman's name?
Okay, what's your comment, sir?
My comment is you're a vet, are you not? You fought for this country?
I'm not a vet, no.
You're talking to me?
Yes, sir, I am.
Yeah.
You fought for this country, this Constitution, and we hold so dear. That man has every right. You fought for that man's right to put that tree up in his window.
No, I did not.
Yes, you did, sir.
Hey,
you
listen,
fought
stupid.
For this Constitution,
hey,
did
listen,
you not?
Listen, stupid. I know what I fought for, okay?
Well, what did you fight for?
Not for this asshole. If it...
No, what did you fight in Korea for?
Because they told me to go over and fight. I got drafted.
And he's calling me stupid?
Yeah, I'm calling you stupid.
You do things whatever everybody tells you
to
do. You just all go do it.
Hey, dumbass, I got drafted.
Hey, dumbass, go jump off a bridge.
You ever heard about getting drafted?
Phil,
you ever heard about getting drafted?
I can't tell you.
You ever heard about getting drafted, okay? You never heard about getting drafted, have you? Stupid asshole.
Look, he's heard about getting drafted. What's that got to do with anything?
What it's got to do with is the fact that I didn't have no say in going over and fighting for Uncle Sam.
Let me ask you something. You been drinking?
Huh?
Have you been drinking?
No, sir, I have not. I take medication for Alzheimer's or for Parkinson's.
For which disease?
Parkinson's.
You said Alzheimer's, didn't you?
No, I did not. I said, Jesus Christ.
Parkinson's.
That's what I said, yes.
Gail, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
My dad's a Korean veteran.
God bless him.
But he could care less what people have in their windows.
What if it represented the size of the guy's thingamajig?
He would just let things be because he'd realize it was the other person and not him. I guess I resent what you said, sir, about don't piss off a Korean veteran. My dad is one of the gentlest, sweetest men you'll ever know.
Until someone was to show you his thingamajig.
Nobody's ever shown your wife his. You know,
ma'am,
that's symbolic, and that's more or less in your mind. And
ma'am,
you don't care about what these other people say. That's just gossip.
Ma'am, that guy puts an 8-foot blue spruce in his window.
I've heard all that, sir, and I don't mean to interrupt, but we don't have that much time. I'm just saying get a life and ignore him.
Look,
that's
I didn't fight for the right to have this GD guy swing his branches like he's a boogie
night. But my dad didn't fight for rights for people to put down and to me, honestly, you're putting down all the veterans.
No, ma'am, I'm not. This
yes,
guy's swinging it around like he's in boogie nights.
I don't guess I understand how the veterans of the Korean War have anything to do with this, and it's kind of
because I don't want no one swinging his thing in my wife's face like he's
personal,
in boogie nights.
Not a vet. Not,
all right.
That's a personal thing.
Right, right.
Not a veteran.
Hold on, Gail. 1-800-449-8686 with a veteran who doesn't like a guy having his Christmas tree up one day longer than the 12 nights because he thinks it's sexual. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
1-800-449-8686 is our number, and with us is Lloyd Bonafide. He's a Korean War veteran, and he, among other things, as a Korean War vet, doesn't like the fact that his neighbor didn't take his tree down or left his tree up after the 12 days of Christmas. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Now, what are the 12 days of Christmas?
Holy Jesus.
I honestly, does that start at Christmas?
The 12 days of Christmas are the days after Christmas till the 6th of January, which is the Epiphany, and that's when you take your decorations down. Now, this guy left his up because his Christmas tree is really represents his penis, and he wants all the women to see it. See? What's so difficult about that?
Oh, well, thank you.
You know, it's difficult for you to understand it.
Yeah. Vincent, you're on a Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
How are you?
Fine, sir.
Good. Listen, let's tell this guy, first of all, I came from not Reading, you know?
What?
I lived in Boston for about 70 years.
Well, who gives a sweet Jesus?
And what happened was, you want to hear about that, or you want me to talk that fellow right there?
What are you, who's speaking, please?
Wait a minute,
Vincent. What are you talking about, man? Are you talking about the guy on the ice?
Is he talking about, what do you mean, that hockey guy?
Yeah.
What about him?
What about it was this? See, I lived in Medford,
Massachusetts. This has nothing to do, Mr. Hedrick, with what we're talking about. You realize that, don't you?
Well, you're the one talking to him.
All right, let me talk to this guy here that is crazy.
How am I crazy? A guy put his penis in his tree in the window. It says it's his penis.
You know, I think that the guy showed your wife because you got a small one and she was happy to see the other guys. You know?
So you happen to think it's funny that a guy beats another guy to death on a hockey rink?
You want to hear about the hockey ring?
No, I want to hear about your penis.
All right, listen to this.
Okay.
Well, he's the guy that started...
Just shut up. Walter, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I got a few comments to say to this gentleman.
Uh-huh.
First of all, I'm retired from the Navy, 20 years. I had a little piece of Korea.
Anchors
and
away.
I had a little piece of Vietnam. And I volunteered, sir, and I was proud to go. And if the man up the street wants to put his Christmas tree up at Easter, I've got nothing to say to
it.
That's
put
the
it
reason
up at
I
Easter.
Went over there.
He put it up at Christmas time.
I don't care. He can put it up any time he wants. It's his home, for
but
God's
it
sake.
Represents...
Man, think about what you're doing there.
His tree has oversized Christmas balls on it, and that's not sexual?
No, but... that's not sexual, you idiot.
Well,
what
sir,
the hell does that have to do with sexual?
Because the guy told the woman he had an affair with up the street, he said that when I put my tree in the window, it represents the size of my thing.
Who told you that?
My wife talked to the old widow woman up
the
street.
You know what? I think your neighborhood ought to get some other hobbies there, fella. You people, that's all you got to do.
It seems like there are a bunch of yentas sort of sharing.
We're not yentas, for Jesus' sake.
The lady
said that she had an affair with this guy, Mitten, and she said he's got a big one. And he said, yeah, and watch when I put my tree up, it'll be symbolic.
Oh, come on. Come on.
Hold on. This gentleman, Walter, you know what I mean. You don't make fun of a Korean War vet. Am I right or am I wrong?
I never met one that would walk up the street and hit another man because he had a Christmas tree up in his house.
Not because he had a tree up, because it represented...
Because it represented nothing. You're listening to gossip and you made up your mind.
Absolutely.
You're a very foolish man, sir.
That's true.
And for another
I'm ashamed to say that you were a veteran. I'm not even sure that you were. You may be making that up.
For another veteran... Sir, what do you mean I'm making it up? I was there at the reservoir when we pulled the Marines out of there.
Well, good for you.
Okay,
but why in the world would you go up the street and hit another man?
What reservoir was that?
Huh?
What was the name of the reservoir?
It was the Vernon Reservoir.
Oh, the what reservoir?
You know?
I happen to be a student of the Korean War. Yeah. What reservoir was it that you pulled the Marines out of?
Foreman?
Huh?
Right.
He doesn't even know the name of the reservoir.
Well, hey, Walter, you know the name of the reservoir?
No, I have no idea.
Yeah,
I was
see,
off the
he doesn't know.
I was off the coast on aircraft carrier.
Look,
I actually wasn't in
Walter,
combat.
Let me tell you something. This guy's Christmas tree has a bunch of sap coming off of it. Now, what does that tell you?
Oh, man. This guy needs a...
I need what, huh?
Okay. Thank you. All right. It's great talking with you, man. It's called Chosin Reservoir, by the way.
That was the one.
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
On Friday's show, Dr. Jim Sadler was a hockey coach and a hockey writer, and he was talking about hockey and the fact his kid was so great, and yet the hockey coach just didn't play his kid. Anyway, it was all about that guy in Massachusetts and the other guy, and here it is.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
This guy's got some serious issues. I mean, he's definitely got double standards. He's... If it was his kid that was out there, he would say, you know, hey, get out of the way, coach. Put my kid in there. But then now he's saying as a coach, hey, get your family back. Get away.
If I was a parent, first of all, I have an exceptional son. I've got a son who's a great hockey player. And it's just that coaches don't want to play him because they say he's no good. But I know he's good.
You know he's good because he's good in your eyes. But apparently he's not good enough to play in the coach's eyes.
Well, he's going to be the
there's
next.
Other teams, there's other players up for the team that are better than your son.
No, he's going to be the next.
That.
Wing.
That's fine.
He's going to be
fine.
The next Wayne Gretzky.
You think your son's the greatest? I think my son's the greatest.
But
you know
is.
What?
But the
bottom
difference
line,
is,
you got issues, buddy.
But the difference is, you think your son's the greatest. My son really is.
Okay.
You know.
Sure. Absolutely. I'm sure he's the greatest at something. You know, his mother's the greatest at something. She's the greatest at giving out a room number to hockey players, you schmuck.
Excuse me, but my wife was taken advantage of.
Oh, okay.
Well, what are you saying now?
Taken advantage of 20 times. One time is rape. 20 times, that's a freebie.
Wait a second.
Sorry, you got issues.
Hold on.
You got issues, pal. Your wife's a whore. She slept around with 20 men.
You know why you're saying that? Because my kid's a better athlete than yours. That's why you're saying
No,
you're upset. You're jealous.
That's fine.
You're jealous.
Oh, he's jealous.
Oh, absolutely. I'm jealous because I didn't get a turn of that doorknob called your wife.
You know, boy. You know, I took anger management in the 70s, so.
And you needed to. Especially, you know.
I need to.
And why you put up with your wife sleeping around on you like that with 20 men.
My wife doesn't sleep around. My wife doesn't sleep around. She, all right, one night. She had an error in judgment.
Well, now your story's changing. Before you, it's all the hockey player's fault. It's all the hockey player's fault. Now it's your wife had an error in judgment. That is absolutely correct.
Well, it's
don't put it on the hockey players or the men.
Well,
wife chose to make that bed and lie in it. Now don't blame it on the men.
Well, it's
because
mostly
men are men. You know what? They think with the head to stomp between their legs.
It's mostly the hockey player's fault. No American football player, basketball player is going to do this. Hockey players are degenerate.
Well, right? I mean, come on now. What was it? Was it Magic Johnson? I mean,
I'm just saying that. No,
that's the real name for him, right? Magic Johnson. What was it? Like 1,200?
No, I didn't say. I didn't say Magic.
Women or something
I said that. I said that hockey players are degenerate. Basketball players are not.
What do you mean?
Oh,
the guy just said Will Chamberlain, whoever it was, slept with 13,000 women.
Yeah, Will Chamberlain, Magic Johnson, one of those guys. Kareem, yeah.
My wife was very intoxicated, and the two waitresses talked her into it.
Now it's turning back to being it was a woman's thing, not necessarily a hockey degenerate, as you
exactly.
call them.
You know the problem with you, Mr. Sadler.
Don't tell me what the problem with me is.
Yes, I will tell you the problem with you is that you think the sun rises and sets on your kid. You think that your wife's sexual indiscretion has to do with 20 hockey players, and you think that this guy that beat up that other dude had a right to because he. You know what I think? I think you're a mental case. Okay.
That's what everybody says. That's what everybody says because they don't want to understand the truth.
Yeah, everybody says you're nuts.
Yeah, because they don't want to understand.
Okay, well then, if everybody says
you live in a rubber room.
rubber room, huh? You know, let me tell you something, Jimmy.
Tell me something, buddy.
You come around me, and you're gonna have an ass full of car. I'll come over to the studio and kick your ass.
I'm not at the studio, pal.
Well, who's at the studio?
I am. The host.
Oh, yeah, the host is at the studio. Where are you?
Never mind.
Phil Henry. Flashback.
All right, there it is. And the first ever Phil Henry listening party is going to be happening the 22nd through the 24th. It's going to be in Las Vegas. It's going to be something else, man. Our listener party is the first ever for the Phil Henry show. I understand the people that will be there will be a little bit bent, and that's as it should be, because the show itself is a little bit bent. I mean, come on. It's a host who does voices of other people, and people call in and think they're talking to a real guy. Imagine that. Oh, yes, sir, you're on the air.
Yes, sir, I wanted to call back.
We already finished our conversation with you.
Huh?
We already finished our conversation with you.
No, I wanted to ask you about the Phil Henry listening party, if I could. This isn't about the other thing. No.
You were talking about some guy with a big penis or...
No, I don't want to talk about that.
What do you want?
I want to ask you about the Phil Henry show listening party you're going to have there in Las Vegas. My wife and I will be in the Anza Borrega next month, and then we're planning on coming up to Laughlin. Want to go to the listening party.
Yeah.
And I want to know, does the Las Vegas Hilton, do they stub out the 3/4-inch gas line for the RV unit, or is that only the 1/4-inch?
The what?
I said there's a group of us coming up from the Anza Borrega right after the Dinosaur, and we wanted to come in to Laughlin, but we'll make the trip extra up north if the Las Vegas Hilton stubs in the 3/4-inch gas line.
What do you mean I don't understand.
For the caravan, for the RVs.
You got an RV?
Yes, sir. I want to come up, see if the Las Vegas Hilton stubs in the
3/4-inch gas line. So how many of you are there?
We're the Happy Wanderers. There's probably about 40 or 50 of us. And we want to buy the double occupancy package. Actually, no, we don't. We want to sleep in our RVs and take advantage of the show for free. So we were wondering...
Yeah, thanks a lot, old man.
Don't you hang up on me. I'm a Korean War veteran.
Okay, so anyway, the first ever Phil Henry listening party at the Las Vegas Hilton VIP check-in. Now, what does that mean? It means you won't be treated like scum. You come to the hotel, they go, oh, well, Mr. Taylor, how are you, sir? Come this way. Well, actually, I work on the show. I'm Craig Taylor, the engineer. Well, in that case, you can go to the back of the line. Friday, February 22nd to the 24th, I'm going to broadcast my show live. So we'll be hanging out together there on Friday night. And I'll be doing a show, and then, you know, we have a little Q&A during the show, and after the show, you guys can hang out there. That's a beautiful thing, but that's not all. Then we're going to have the following evening a cocktail reception, and that's where we really kind of shoot the crap, have a couple of pops, do a little gambling, however you want to do it. We'll eat some dinner. A three-quarter inch gas line. I got that on the brain now. It's a three-course dinner.
So there is 3/4-inch gas, huh? I knew that there was...
It'll be a three-course dinner, and then you'll have dancing afterwards. There'll be free soft drinks. There's a cash bar. Now, while you're at the beautiful Las Vegas Hilton, you get, of course, our $379 based on double occupancy package, 3 days and two nights. A lot of people say, what does that mean, based on double occupancy? That means two of you. Two of you come to the Las Vegas Hilton that week, $379 for two people. Two people, $379. 3 days and two nights for two at the Las Vegas Hilton. You also get match and play gambling. You bet the up to $10, and the Hilton will match your bet. You get a Park Place Entertainment coupon book valued at $1,000. You get 2-for-1 at the world-famous Hilton Spa, 2-for-1 show tickets to Sheena Easton, 2 free tickets to the Star Trek Experience, 3-course dinner. I mentioned that, didn't I? I mean, what in the heck can you possibly be missing? What could this package possibly be missing that it doesn't already have, you know?
How about a senior discount? And I'm a creep.
So come on to the Phil Henry listening party. That's on the 22nd to the 24th in Las Vegas, Nevada at the beautiful Las Vegas Hilton. Here's the number to call. Write it down. Scribble it down. 1-888-1-888. Excuse me. 1-888-445-8844. That number again is 1-888-445-8844. 1-888-445-8844. Ask for the Phil Henry package. You'll love it. I always wish we have a musical stinger there, something that sort of separates the promo pitch from the now the rest of the show. I don't know what it could possibly be, but we'll think of something here. Our number is 1-800-449-86. How about this? And now, back to the show. Okay. And now it's time for the Phil Hendry Show. All right, 1-800-449-8686. And welcome back. So get a load of this. You're going to like this story. This is an interesting Saturday, Maria's birthday, my wife's birthday. And so she had a party for herself and some friends over at our house. So she didn't want any creeps hanging around, meaning men. So me and the three boys took off. So I piled the three guys into the car, and a little girl, she stayed with her mom for part of the day and then, you know, went off and did some girl things. But anyway, she says, well, why don't you take the boys and can head out? I said, okay. So we get in the car, and I said, this will be a great opportunity for you guys to see my hometown of Arcadia. Now, these boys grew up in the Westlake Thousand Oaks area of the suburban Los Angeles, you know, area. And it's a pretty... Westlake Thousand Oaks, I would say it's a middle-class to upper-middle-class area. There are some very nice homes, very nice incomes. You can drive through the neighborhoods and look at all the money that's piled on the driveway there. It's called a car. And all the beautiful golf courses. My God, there's like three or four private clubs. It's just this, and they've been to private schools their whole life. Well, I grew up in a middle-class town, Arcadia. Arcadia actually is split in half by Huntington Drive, which runs right into downtown Los Angeles and goes as far east as, well, Chicago, actually, because it's part of the old Route 66. It literally goes all the way, Huntington Drive, you take that street, it goes all the way to Chicago. So south of Huntington is sort of the middle to lower middle class part of Arcadia, and north is a little bit nicer. My life in Arcadia was spent on both sides of the track. When I was very young, I started out down on 7th Avenue, and then as I got older, my father made a little more money, and then he lost his job, and back down below Huntington we went. So I kind of took them around to the old places that I grew up in, and the Foster's Freeze that I used to hang out at, the pastrami place that I used to ride my bike up to and get food, and the liquor store where I used to go in and get Cokes, places like that. And you would have thought that I was driving them through Watts. They were just amazed. Look, there's all a lot of Hondas and Nissans and stuff. They thought they were driving through the ghetto. I was stunned. I said, you guys are going to be putting me on, right? No, I mean, look at that. God, look at that, and look at that, and look at that. Yeah, that's called a store, and that's another. What is this, these old stores? They're stores, man. They weren't built back in 1998. They were built back in 1948, but they're stores and bars and places like that, you know. So I threatened to just drop them off on a street and leave them there. I was just going to say, why don't you guys get out and take a look, closer look at that building? Why, certainly. And take off. But by the time we left and rolled back home, they had me believing that I was raised in absolute poverty. They had me believing that I was raised in absolute abject poverty, except for one thing. Arcadia has peacocks. I mean, the peacock birds wander around the streets of that town because they were brought there by one of the original inhabitants. And the kids thought the peacocks were cool and were feeding them and stuff, except one of the kids stepped in peacock crap and walked it into my brand new car. And you know how long it's going to take me to get peacock crap out of the interior of my car?